This podcast is a presentation of University of California Television. Like what you hear? Consider making a donation at uctv.tv/donate so we can continue to bring you more great programs.
Hi, so my name's Jessica Pham. I'm in Dr. Jameson's lab, so I'm her lab manager. But for all intents and purposes of this gathering, I'm the stellar mission specialist of the Sanford Stem Cell Institute. So in terms of leveraging space, I'll just be talking about what we've done up until this point, like where we've and then where we will be going next. So this is in the sense of like how we've are studying normal hematopoietic or normal stem cell fitness and then also from a cancer standpoint. So a brief overview of what we've done up until this point. So we've gotten two papers published last year. Yay. So one was published in September of 2026, which is on the your left, my right. So this was our first four missions. So this was the, or not first four, but four of the nine missions. So this is the nanobioreactor detection of space-associated hematopoietic stem and progenitor cell aging. So this was when we were looking at the normal stem cells and how they're behaving in space. And then on your right, my left, is our cover of our second publication last year that was published December 2026. Both of these were published in Cell Stem Cell. The right, we got the cover, and that study was focused on the astronaut health. So a brief overview, Dr. Jameson already talked about this. So this was our first publication. So we flew with on a SpaceX commercial resupply mission, CRS-24567. And we studied normal hematopoietic stem cell and how they behave within their niche in these nanobioreactors that we created. So in that center there is what the nanobioreactor looks like. So we're really interested in understanding what happens to the stem cell health. So what we found was increased cycling in space, less dormancy, and as Kat mentioned earlier, stem cells should primarily stay dormant our entire lifespan, right? So they're supposed to be able to live our whole life. They're supposed to be able to differentiate under times of stress, and they're supposed to remain dormant. But this is exactly opposite of what we saw in space. So we saw increased proliferation. And then upon return, we did a few assays, especially a functional one, which is called the colony survival self-renewal assay, to really test whether or not the stem cells were still functioning as stem cells, which one of the hallmarks of stem cells is really their self-renewal capacity, which means that they're able to clone without changing themselves. So we saw reduced self-renewal capacity upon return. And then we also saw decreased ADAR1 P150 and decreased editing. So this was something that we saw post-flight. However, there were some indications, especially from the standpoint of why did we see increased proliferation in flight. ADAR1, we also consider, is a self-renewal gene. So we wanted to know, did ADAR1 actually get upregulated in flight, but upon return decreased? So that's something that we're currently working on right now. And then the other study that we did, which is really nice as a follow-on study, because especially everything that we saw in the previous publication, we actually saw in the astronauts. So yes, we did get the privilege of studying the Axiom Space private astronaut mission crew. So we studied Axiom 2, 3, and 4 crew members, and we basically did this pipeline, as Dr. Jameson was mentioning. We are trying to pivot to see we can utilize it to study stress in other ways. But basically what we saw is the same thing that we saw from the other paper in nanobioreactors. So what we saw in vitro was recapitulated in humans. So this was all taken from 10 mils of their peripheral blood. And then we ran it through this pipeline and we saw similar things, decrease in self-renewal capacity upon return. And then we actually, because we did a before flight, during flight, and after flight, we were able to see what we believe is activation of that base deaminase that Kat mentioned earlier, so ADAR1 and then APOBEC3C. And then we also saw this highly resilient population of stem cells. So, and then kind of pivoting from that point is we also have this study that we're working on, which is in cancer stem cells. So this was four payloads in total, modeling tumor organoids, cancer in low Earth orbit 1, 2, and 3. So this was Axiom missions 1, 2, 3, and 4. So we're working on the manuscript right now, but Dr. Jameson showed some of the data already. So that was, we saw activation of ADAR1 and APOBEC3C. So from a normal standpoint, that could potentially help with how normal stem cells function, right? But if we're talking about cancer stem cells, that's a bad thing. And then we also see retrotransposon upregulation. So this, hopefully we're going to get this in soon, and then hopefully we'll have another publication to add. But in terms of a little bit backtrack to what we were doing this weekend. So we had the longest mission ever across the Institute, right? We've had 18 missions total. So this was our ninth mission. This was SpaceX CRS 33. So this was a 6-month mission. It launched August of last year, and then we got the payload back 3 days ago. And so what we were really looking for here was whether or not the stem cells were surviving 6 months in flight in these nanobioreactors. This was a video upon return to the Center for Novel Therapeutics at CNT. What we were able to do was we did receive back live cells. So we did our span of assays that we normally do. So the functional colony survival self-renewal assay, and then we were able to get cells, enough cells for single cell RNA sequencing and the whole genome sequencing, which I know the cDNA was being processed today by Kendall. And then our 10th mission, so while we were deintegrating SpaceX 33, we were also doing our PVT, which is a payload verification test for our 10th mission, which is SpaceX 34. So this payload is called Niche Cancer Stem Cells in Low Earth Orbit. So we're really looking at this interaction between cancer stem cells and their microenvironment, their niche. So this is supposed to be a 30-day mission. It's supposed to be sometime in May, and these are just a few images that we've done already on the ground, and it's a follow-on mission or follow-on study from our Axiom missions. And then ultimately, all of this could not have been done without the team. So this is our team. Obviously, couldn't capture everyone, but this is like a few photos from the whole group. So the Jameson Lab, our collaborators, thank you.
Jessica, how long does it take you to analyze your samples once they come back?
So if we're talking about how long for doing all the experiments post-flight, so right. We received the cells. Luckily, everything's kind of landing on the West Coast now. So the last mission, when we did the astronaut study, we actually drove up to Long Beach where we picked up the samples, drove back, and then we did our whole pipeline. That literally takes like a day or two. And then the most, I guess, time intensive is the functional assay. So colony survival assays, 2 weeks and 2 weeks, so 4 weeks total. And then what I didn't mention, which Dr. Jameson didn't mention, is in our cancer stem cell studies, we've actually received back enough cells to do in vivo modeling. So with that, we were looking at a pharmacological inhibition of this ADAR1 that we're very interested in. And that study took a few months, actually. So it really depends what assay we're looking at. But from a like sequencing standpoint, we can kind of get direction of where we're going in about a month from receiving everything back.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.